Well, good morning, church. This is Pastor Steve with Redeemed Church, just wishing you all a beautiful, wonderful Sunday, mid-March morning. We're just going to be recording this service today from the house. As you know, with the coronavirus, currently churches are not meeting, you know, and so forth. But don't you know the church is bigger than a building? Amen. The church is a people of God, a people of faith. And we're just going to record a message for you today to just enjoy from home or on the road on your iPhone or iPad. Let's just rejoice over a few praise reports before we begin. We always like to begin our days with praise reports, our Sundays. Every day is a great day to begin with praise. Amen. But a couple of wonderful things that we heard even by our email this week. If you get our prayer and praise email, you saw the reports about our friends in Japan who say that the effects of this coronavirus have greatly improved and life is getting back to normal there. Hallelujah. I also heard wonderful things about China, that they're not getting any new cases either. I saw some retired NBA players have moved over there and they're beginning to play basketball. So be encouraged, family. God is healing. He's delivering. He's setting people free. I saw a couple other praise reports this week about miracle healings and people going home from potentially very dangerous issues at the hospital, and they're going home and healing up. Saw another, Elizabeth shared a financial miracle, a miracle provision this week. We just rejoice in the Lord. Amen.
Help in time of need, and I know you're mine.
Let's just pray right now and dedicate our time to Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you, Lord, for blessing everybody wherever they are today, that there is peace in our homes, peace in our families, peace in the church, peace in our nation and the world. We bind the devil, release the blessings of God today. Lord, we ask you to give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And say, if you're listening to this message, obviously you are listening to this later because, you know, you're not getting a live service today, although I guarantee you I am very much alive, hallelujah, preaching to you in the studio in my house, hallelujah. So, but I want you to be prepared to receive communion at the end of this message today. So just if you want to pause the message here and get your communion elements ready, you know, a piece of bread, a cracker, a golden gram, half a donut, whatever you got, and a cup of coffee or some juice, we're going to receive the body and the blood of Jesus as we pray at the end of our message today. Well, we're going to continue on the message entitled, Jesus Fulfills the Spring Feast. Everybody say that. Jesus, I can hear you. Jesus fulfilled the spring feast. And this is part three entitled, First Fruits. Everybody say, First Fruits. And you might remember the past couple services, we talked about Jesus fulfilling the spring feast of Passover. He was the Passover lamb that was sacrificed on our behalf. Amen. And then he fulfilled the feast of unleavened bread, removing the power of the curse and of sin and the power of the curse off this planet so that you and I could live in the fullness of the blessing. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for fulfilling these spring feasts. Well, Matthew 5:17 is one of our foundation texts, and it says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets, Jesus says. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So Jesus didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. He came to be the fulfillment of them. Amen? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the word says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Don't you know, even, you know, this coronavirus right now is kind of on our hearts and minds. And we need to remember that Jesus did not send the coronavirus. He came to destroy, and he has destroyed its power. Amen? So we're believing God for the complete fulfillment of that. And we were looking even at the numbers today. About around 12,000, over 12,000 people on the entire planet have died of this. So we pray for them, we pray for their families. But church, remember this, 12,000 people dying of something is relatively small in comparison to all the other ways people die across the world. So just rejoice that God is protecting people. He is healing people. He is delivering us of this evil thing, and He'll get your lives back on track just the way they should be. But enjoy this time, you know, this, if you're home, if you're, you know, in quarantine or whatever they're calling it, enjoy the time with Jesus, be in the Word, enjoy the time with your family. My company has informed us that we're going to be off for a bit here, so I'm not worrying. I'm not, twiddling my thumbs and worrying and pacing. I'm rejoicing in God that I get some extra quality family time, you know. Our families grow up so quickly, and it's so wonderful to have extra time to spend with them as a family and just enjoying one another and, you know, being in the Word together, playing games, hanging out, going for hikes, you know. It's just a wonderful time. So praise God. But our other foundation text is Matthew 17, verses 1 through 5. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be there. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And you might remember, church, that the big reminder here that I've picked up recently in this is that the Father was reminding Peter, he was reminding us that it's not about Moses, it's not about Elijah, it's about Jesus. Somebody say, it's about Jesus. The Bible that you have there, from the book of Genesis all the way through Revelation, is about Jesus Christ. He's the one who made a way for us to get to heaven. He's the one that made a way for us out of sin and sickness and the curse. Amen. So as you're reading your Bible every day and studying it, remember, always be asking the Holy Ghost to show you. Always be listening and looking and watching for what and how did Jesus either do to fulfill this, or what promise is this fulfilled for me? Amen. Did Jesus do this thing as a substitutionary sacrifice on my behalf, or did he do this thing as an example for me to follow? Amen. His example of faith and love and holiness and righteousness, and his example, his replacement, his substitutionary ministry of taking the full brunt of sin on himself, so you and I could be set free. Glory to God. Amen. Well, let's look at this first fruits message. Jesus fulfills first fruits. And I want to look at Leviticus chapter 23. Boy, I'll tell you what, if you want to look at an exciting chapter in the Bible, it's full of them, amen? But Leviticus 23 is one of my favorites because it encapsulates the entire history of the world all in these feasts. And it's just phenomenal, amen? But particularly, Leviticus 23 verses 9 through 14 says this. You got your Bible? Amen. It says this, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And verse 12, and you shall offer on that day when you wave the sheaf a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. In verse 13, its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet aroma. Its drink offering shall be of wine, 1/4 of a hin. And verse 14, you shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Amen. Somebody say, Jesus is my first fruits. Hallelujah. I want to show you something. There's a great website called Hebrew for Christians. Hebrew, the number four, Christians. And it goes through some of these feasts and so forth. And one of the beautiful things that I learned about first fruits on this website, and you'll see the connection here, is that the Messiah is the beginning of the harvest. Say that. The Messiah, who is Jesus, of course, is the beginning of the harvest. And it says this in this website, Hebrew for Christians, in regards to the day of first fruits. The day following the first day of unleavened bread is called, I'm not even trying to pronounce that, but it's the beginning of the harvest, and it's called the day of first fruits. I won't attempt the Hebrew pronunciation of this, but it's the beginning of the harvest. Somebody say, beginning of the harvest. Amen. In ancient times, on this day, a sheaf or an omer of barley, which is the first grain crop to ripen, was waved before the Lord in a prescribed ceremony to mark the start of the counting of the omer, thereby initiating the 49-day countdown to the Jubilee Harvest Festival of Shavuot. Amen. In other words, on this day, the priest would wave a sheaf of green barley of the new harvest before the Lord, north, south, east, then west, as a symbolic gesture of dedicating it to him. A male lamb then was sacrificed as a burnt offering to the Lord, along with unleavened bread mixed with oil and wine. Sounds like the body and the blood of Jesus, doesn't it? Only after the wave offering was performed could the crop begin to be used, Leviticus 23:14. It is altogether remarkable that on this day, a defect-free male lamb was to be offered along with bread and wine, the very symbol Yeshua used to recall his sacrifice. Now, the beautiful thing about this, church, is that I love the statement here that it's the beginning of the harvest. Amen. Let me just find that again where it says that. The beginning of the harvest, the day of first fruits. Amen. Don't you know that Jesus went, this is symbolic of Jesus rising from the dead. Amen. When Jesus rose from the dead, he became the first fruits risen from the dead, the first reborn man, literally. Amen. And don't you know, when he came out of that grave alive, victorious over the devil, amen, that, oh, it changed everything. It literally split time, B.C. and A.D. It gave a way for us all to come to heaven, to be right with God, to be reunited with our Father, to all the stuff the devil had tried to put on this planet. Had been, the power of that was broken on that day when Jesus became the first fruits from the dead. And the beginning of the harvest, somebody say beginning of the harvest. What harvest are we talking about? The harvest of souls, church. Amen. The harvest of humanity, that God now could harvest people through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the first fruits. You and I are the second, third, for whatever we are. Amen. You got born again at some point. So you and I are rooted, our faith is rooted in him. So we are a part of the mighty harvest that God is drawing into heaven. Glorious news. Amen. And in Acts chapter 26, if you have your Bible, look at that. Or write it down or whatever. But Acts chapter 26, verses 22 and 23. Therefore, having obtained help from God, don't you know, church, we needed help from God. Amen. To this day, I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, Amen. Now, see, that's again back to Moses and the prophets, Moses and Elijah. They said, everything that they said, everything that they did, everything that they prophesied was about the Lord Jesus Christ coming to do this mighty work on all of our behalf. Glory to God. And verse 23, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first, somebody say the first, to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to all the Gentiles. Don't you know Jesus Christ was the first to rise from the dead, incorruptible, full of glory? Hallelujah. And you and I have our hope in him. That's why when times like this come around, church, where this coronavirus and people are freaking out and panicking, what it ultimately is a fear of dying, church. Don't you know you and I, we don't have that fear. Why? Because our Lord and Savior overcame death. He is the first fruits of the dead, and you and I are part of that mighty harvest. Glory to God. We don't have to be afraid of death. And when we're out there, whether it's this thing that's coming at us or that thing that's coming at us, we need to be people that are speaking the light of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving them hope. Amen. The other day I was doing my job and walking around some buildings doing a service, and a man was just walking like off to the store, and he said, "Whoa, what are you doing? Are you applying some?" I was applying some pesticide. He said, "What is that going to help us with this virus?" And instantly this came out of me. "No, sir, but the blood of Jesus will." Hallelujah. Don't you know that's true? Amen. The blood of Jesus, it's the answer to the world's problem, the world's crisis, the world's issues. It's the same blood. It's the same God, the same Lord. Amen. I want to look at Romans chapter 8 for a minute. If you have your Bible again, turn over to Romans chapter 8. Somebody just say, "Thank you, Jesus, for being my first fruits." Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 25. Paul says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Oh, somebody say the glory. The glory, the glory, the glory. Verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." Somebody say, that's me. That's me. "For the creation," verse 20, "was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself," verse 21, "also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 22, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." Oh, isn't that glorious, church? After this life is over, it ain't over. It's just beginning. Amen? Because we're going to move on to glory land. Hallelujah. And don't you know glory land is coming here too? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're eagerly waiting. Somebody say, "I'm eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of my body." Hallelujah. "For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope." Verse 24, "For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Somebody say, "I'm eagerly waiting." I'm eagerly waiting for this marvelous, marvelous time when we get that full-on glorious adoption into heaven. Amen. We're God's children now, but we're talking about that day when we get that full effect of the new body coming. Jesus rose again. You remember the story when he rose again and appeared to his disciples. They recognized him. It was him. But man, he had a glorious, a glorified body now. Glory to God. And you and I, we have a glorified body. And when we rise, when we go on to heaven, you're still going to look like you, but you're going to have a glorious, glorious body. Hallelujah. A heavenly body. Sickness-free, disease-free. Amen. Free from the effects of the curse completely. No aging. Praise God. No pain. Amen. And praise the Lord, on this side of heaven, we can contend for victory in that area of our life now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, Romans chapter 11, verse 16 talks about us being holy and set apart to God as part of this harvest, as part of our faith in Jesus being our first fruits. Amen. It says this, Romans 11, 16, "For if the first fruit is holy," somebody say, Jesus is holy. Amen. "If the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy." Somebody say, that's us. "And if the root is holy, so are the branches." Somebody say, my faith is in Jesus, so I am holy means set apart to God. Amen. We are set apart from God. That's why when, again, back to this corona thing, whatever evidence of the curse is trying to press in on us, no, we say no. We rebuke it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because I belong to God. I'm set apart to Jesus. That curse or any other curse has no place. Somebody say no place. No place in our lives. That's why, guys, the rapture of the church has to happen before the devil can take full effect on this planet. So don't get freaked out about stuff like this because the church of Jesus Christ is keeping the devil in his place. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we're binding him, we're rebuking him, we're taking authority over him in the name of Jesus. And until the church of Jesus Christ is raptured, withdrawn from this planet, amen, he can't have his way to the fullest effect. Amen. 12,000 and some odd people that passed from this virus is tragic. But oh man, didn't even come close to the goal the devil had. Didn't even come close. Guarantee you that. Because people are praying. People are taking authority over the devil and binding him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And glory to God for the wonderful people at work in the health department and doctors and our president and so many others that are coaching us along through this with natural things that we need to be doing. Washing our hands, you know, the social distancing, all that kind of stuff. But don't you know, church, that phrase social distancing, what Jesus did here, becoming your first fruits, don't you know he removed the distance between you and God. He removed the distance between you and the Father, and he put eternal distance between you and the curse. Somebody say amen. That is glorious news. And finally, let's look at Romans 13, verse 11. I'm going to look at this in a couple different translations. First, in the New King James. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for being my first fruits from the dead. Thank you, Lord, for calling me into your harvest field. Hallelujah. We get to be those that go out into the harvest field and draw in the harvest. Praise God. Romans 13, 11. And do this knowing the time. Somebody say, know the time. Again, when things like this are coming on planet Earth, we just say, well, that's about what time it is. It's close to the end. And when it's close to the end, we know stuff like this is going to be trying to happen more and more. Amen. Knowing the time that now, somebody say now, it is high time to awake out of your sleep. That's how it reads. And do this knowing the time that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. And don't you know Jesus woke from the sleep of death? Glory to God. It overcame it once and for all. And you and I need to rise above spiritual slumber. Amen. Spiritual laziness. Amen. Glory to God. And take our authority on this planet in his name. It is high time to awake out of sleep for now. Somebody say now. Now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Our salvation is closer and closer. I'm talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The redemption of your body is closer and closer and closer. Now's not the time, church, to be drawing back. Now's not the time to be shrinking back. Now's not the time to be quitting. Now's not the time to be wavering. Amen. Now's the time to be pressing in to praising God and the joy of the Lord and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Amplified Classic reads that same verse this way, Romans 13, 11. Besides this, you know what a critical hour this is, how it is high time now for you to wake up out of your sleep, rouse to reality, for salvation, final deliverance, Oh, I love that. Somebody say the final. When you hear the trumpet sound, guess what time it is? Final deliverance time. Glory to God. Our final deliverance is nearer to us now than when we first believed, adhered to, trusted in, and relied on Christ the Messiah. Praise the name of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Do you have your communion elements ready? Do you have the cup and the bread? Amen. Just take that bread in your hand, and we break it right now, and we remember that the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was broken on our behalf so that we could be whole, so that we could be one as a body of believers, that we could be one with Him in spirit, and that that will even translate and transfer into our flesh, into our soul and minds. We take the body of Jesus today, and we thank you, Lord, that your body was broken so our bodies could be well. Just take the bread right now. Thanks. Just say, thank you, Jesus, for your body broken for me. And the cup of our deliverance, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed once and for all, somebody say once and for all, to cleanse us and deliver us and heal us and set us apart to God once and for all time. Thank you for the blood, Lord. We take it and we just say thank you for what you did for us. Let's take the cup together. Oh, somebody say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Say it. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. And finally, church, as we close, I want to lead you through a prayer of protection from Psalm 91. This is out of my Faith to Faith, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland's Faith to Faith devotional. And I just want you to repeat these words out of Psalm 91. And they took the whole chapter and they made it into a confession. I'm just going to lead you through it. Say this after me. Father, I praise you that I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and that I shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of you, Lord, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust. For then you will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. You will cover me with your pinions, your feathers, and under your wings shall I trust and find refuge. Your truth and your faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. I shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only a spectator shall I be, inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High, as I witness the reward of the wicked. Because I have made you, Lord, my refuge, and the Most High my dwelling place. There shall no evil befall me, nor shall any plague or calamity come near my tent. For you will give your angels a special charge over me to accompany and defend and preserve me in all my ways of obedience and service. Your angels shall bear me up on their hands lest I dash my foot against a stone. I shall tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the serpent shall I trample underfoot. Because I have set my love upon you, therefore you will deliver me. You will set me on high, because I know and understand your name. I have a personal knowledge of your mercy, love, and kindness. I trust and rely on you, knowing you will never forsake me, no, never. I shall call upon you, and you will answer me. You will be with me in trouble. You will deliver me and honor me. With long life will you satisfy me and show me your salvation. Glory to God forevermore. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I cover every person that's hearing this message today. We receive you, Jesus, as our first fruits, as our King, our Lord, King of the harvest, hallelujah, as our protection, our covering, our anointing, our healer, our glorious Lord, our glorious risen Savior. We thank you, God, that you're the first fruits from the dead, and we commit our lives. Somebody just say, I commit to you, Jesus. I'm following you all the days of my life. All the days of my life, I will serve you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say, amen.